This is a Montbog Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
I just want to go to Judges chapter 6. I think we should read from verse. We're just going to read, read from verse 1 to 14. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Midianites were a different people. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. Because of the Midianites, Israel, this is the people of God, made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, that's when they sowed all their crops, Midianites would come up also, Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, without number. And they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel who said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and I brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also, I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" And I want to leave it there. I want to, this morning, really encourage your hearts. I want to tell you, so, you know, one of the names that Jesus is called is Emmanuel. How many can tell me what Emmanuel means? Nice. God with us. I want everyone to say, God with me. God with me. God is with, God is with me. God's with me. I mean, start to think about it. Don't laugh, Bev. God is with us. I've got to be careful. I don't get too excited. My teeth are going to come out. You'll laugh with me if that happens, won't you? I just want to be free, so I'm not going to be too worried about my image. I got rid of all that a while ago, most of it. You're catching. No, don't do that. God is with us. This story, I'm impacted by this story. The Midianites, you know what their name means? It means brawling, contention, strife. That's what it means. And think about this. Israel, here they are. They're in their land. Their whole living is you know, what they sow, their wheat, their barley, their crops, and the trees. That's their whole living, their whole livelihood, and all their livestock. And every year at the time when they should be reaping in a harvest, the Midianites come. And everything's ripped off them. Everything's taken away. And yet we're reading in the Bible right at the start that they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And so God delivered them into the hand of the Midianites until such point as, because of all this oppression that came on them, everything was being stolen from. Because of the Midianites, they made these dens and caves and strongholds where they would go and hide themselves. How many people are in strongholds? You know what the Bible says? This is a people robbed and spoiled. All of them are hidden in dens and caves of the earth. And oh man, something's happening in here. I want to see a breakthrough. I want to see a breakthrough. Where God says he is with us. And, you know, can't you identify what's... How many have got a cry in your heart? How long are we going to put up with what's going on in our life? You know, here's so much of what's going on. People's hearts are overwhelmed. People's hearts are burdened and overburdened. And the pressure, the pressures that are on life are getting harder and harder and harder. Well, praise God. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give... Is that just a nice fairy tale? Is that some kind of fairy tale? I want to ask you, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. Is that a fairy tale or is that a reality? He who the Son sets free is free indeed. That's what I want to see. It's what I want to live in and walk in. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. You know, Jesus of Nazareth... Nazareth was a place where nothing good happened. Nothing good came out of Nazareth. Nothing good. That's what it means. Nothing good's in Nazareth. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. We're to walk in the spirit, not walk in the flesh. You know what the Midianites represent and the Amalekites? The Amalekites are the flesh. Midianites, the strife and the contention, the brawling that comes. You know, how often we try to live two lives. You're living, yeah, I want to serve God. I want to love him and praise him. I know all, and I want to find out all about God. But I also want this other side of my life. I want to be in control here. God, I'll give you 90%. You can't grizzle with that, can you? No, God has never been interested in percentage. He wants all of us. Oh, every single bit. Man, he's a bit over the top, isn't he? He wants everything. And we think he's got some kind of problem. Can't you just be reasonable? The issue is, if there's anything held back, that will drag you down. It will drag. You know what Israel was told to do when they went into the promised land? They were told to absolutely destroy everyone in that nation. Absolutely. Destroy everything and everyone in that nation. It was a nation of Philistines, the Canaanites, all the ites, totally sold over to serving the devil. Totally sold. Nothing good. There was nothing good. I think, man, horrific annihilation of people. You know what that points to? All of the old covenant points to us in this age that we're living in. That there's got to come that kind of a reckoning with God. You know, if you love the world or the things in the world, the love of the Father will not be in you. We're singing about the Father. But if you love the world or the things in the world, the love of the Father is not in you. You know, and we can say, oh, God, be reasonable. I'm trying my best. Well, you can try your best till kingdom come and it will never be good enough. Never. Because in your flesh, in our flesh, nothing good dwells. Nothing. Nothing. There is only one way to be saved, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's to give everything that we are over to Him. He will not deal in percentages. He gave everything for us and wants everything in return. So if you've got strife, if you've got contention, if you've got overwhelming pressures in your life and no relief, I'd want to tell you the reason why. So what does God do? In the midst of all this turmoil, in the midst of a heart cry coming out, and people are finding dens and caves to hide in. And, I look at and strongholds. I see so many people with strongholds around their life. Strongholds. And can I describe one of these strongholds? One of them is like this. You know what a stronghold is? It protects you. A stronghold is a place where you think you're safe, where you're protected. Can I tell you that if it's not in God, then it's a false one and it's got to come down. It's going to be destroyed and broken down. Every stronghold, every wall, the Bible says, is going to come down. And these strongholds we build, you ever heard the term, they're in the mountains. Okay, they went to the mountains and these dens and caves and that sort of thing. Well, how many have ever heard that term, head for the hills? They reckon those bushfires that came through, Cockatoo, Emerald, and all around the hills, that it flushed out a lot of, they call them, people that were they didn't even know these houses that were built in different places in the bush. Ever heard that term, head for the hills? People in the hills might head there for kind of protection. So I'm not saying everybody's like this, but there could be this in the hills. People want their space, keep their own. I remember Bev and I, when we came from the... I did come from a place. You were in a home up in Sassafras. That's right, and bush all around you. I came from a farm, and when we got married, we moved into Mombok, and we had neighbour on one side, neighbour on the other, and felt kind of closed in. I want my space. I don't want to get too close to these people. Don't know what they're like. And so we found that a unique experience. But people that head for the hills, and you build strongholds around yourself to protect yourself. And often it will come, you might have something that happens in your life and you're deeply hurt by something. And what you say is, I'm not going to be hurt by that again. We've all got so many different ways of covering that up, haven't we? So we build, as it were, a wall around about ourselves that protects us. The only thing is, it keeps God out. It's like a hardening of the heart. It keeps God out, keeps other people. Nobody can hurt me now. I'm safe, I'm protected, I don't care what people think. And that wall becomes a separation between you and God. And God then comes along, He starts to try and break it down. And we can't understand what God's doing. Thought you loved me. Why are you allowing these things to happen? He's trying to break that wall down. I want you to think about Peter the apostle. Here's Peter, he's got this wall around his life. God, I'll never let you down. I'll be with you right to the end. Even if all the others run, turn tail, I will never. I'm dying with you. And he had this brittle kind of strength around his life. And what did Jesus say to Peter? Before the cock crows tonight, you're going to deny me three times. And it's exactly what happened. And here's Peter. After he hears that cock crow the third time, after he's denied even knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is Emmanuel, God with him, denied that he even knew him, and he hears that cock crow, and what does he do? He went out and he wept bitterly. That wall was just smashed down of his own ability and strength, totally destroyed. And I imagine he would have thought, I'm hopeless. I'm no good. He wept bitter tears. And yet later on, when Jesus was risen from the dead, the story, Peter's out with John the fisherman. That's their trade. So they're out fishing and there's somebody on the beach and it's Jesus. and they recognize him. John says, that's Jesus. And what does Peter do? He just strips off, jumps into the water and swims to the shore. And you'd think, you know, Jesus would have a bit of compassion. But it's almost like he starts to rub it in. Peter, do you love me? And then he might remember, oh, I remember saying, yeah, I love you, Lord. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Three times he asks him, do you love me, Peter? Man, you know how God does that? Have you ever had that? You see, those brittle walls, sometimes there's something within us that rises up. I call it a cornered rat. Because the poor me mentality, poor me. Don't you know what's going on in my life? Don't you know what I've been through? That's why I need these walls. That's why I've got these protection things there. Don't you know what I've been through? Don't you even care? And God's got to break through them. I remember in this church, we had a stage on that side. It's been broken down now. And all the people are lined up this way. And I remember we had a guy come along called Nick Pappas. Anybody remember Nick Pappas? That wasn't an inspiring time for me. I remember, I think it was at that time Ben had gone away. He got the green mohawk and everything and left home and all that sort of thing. And so I was feeling an absolute failure. And I guess I was more as an elder at that time. I was feeling a failure, looking at him, and all I could see was the green hair and being offended by that. Of course, I love my son, but I couldn't get over that thing. And I remember being in the church thinking, I shouldn't even be here. I shouldn't even be an elder. I need to resign because I'm a failure. And I remember at that stage that I must have come up for prayer, and I was there, and oh, poor me. You don't know what I'm going through. I was feeling pretty down, but I remember sitting there, poor me, oh, the things that I've been going through. God, where are you? Why did you let that happen, God? Why did you allow that to happen in my life? And Nick Pappas comes along, he's praying for everybody. I remember Gay was on the piano playing in the spirit. But there were people were laughing in the spirit. And Nick Pappas comes up to me and he starts to pray and then he slapped me across the face. And I have never come so close to laying somebody out in front of the... I'm really serious. I was so angry. I was incredibly angry. I wanted to punch him in the face. Because of that anger that rose up out of that. That's why I call it a cornered rat. God had to break something in me. That poor me spirit, all about me spirit, had to be broken because that was the problem. That was what's hindering God. It was my stronghold, my secure place that God says, no, David, in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. And God has done a work over many years where he's trying to teach me what his love really is like. God is so good. I know now when I read, have you ever read, you know, you read Deuteronomy 28 and you read about all the blessings of God and the cursings of God? Have you ever gone through them and, you know, blessed you will be in the, you know, if you do what's right, blessed you will be in the city, your family will be blessed, your workplace will be blessed, everything you put your hand to will be blessed, and they're wonderful. And then, but if you do not, then everything you do will be cursed. I thought, man, don't want that. I'll do all the blessings. I'll do all the right things so I can get the blessing because that's what I want. But now I'm realizing I praise God for all of those curses. You know why? Because God's intention, he says that if you don't serve me, then I'll cause these things to come on your life. Things will get hard. They will get disappointing. You'll find you'll even get despairing of life. But God's intention is to turn our hearts back to him. I think, God, you are so good. My Father. You know, how many of you, read Book of Hebrews. You know, as a son, if we endure chastening, it's because our Father loves us. He loves us. All things work together for good to those who are the called of God, called according to his purpose. And what's his purpose? It's so that Christ be formed in us. It's Christ. It's Jesus that the world needs to see. Not you, sorry. It's Jesus that the world wants to see. And that's what God's intention is. So, but I know he is so good. Everything. No wonder the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. And I haven't even got to what I wanted to share about. But when he's talking to Gideon, here's a whole nation hidden in caves, pads and dens. And it's like, you know, they say, yeah, God's this, God's that, God's mighty. But where are the miracles? Where's the fruit of it? Where's the demonstration of it? Because it's almost like the opposite's happening. You get the impression that God's trying to do a work here before he can do a work outside of us. He's trying to do a work here, get our hearts right with him. So he sends a prophet who rebukes them. Well, thanks for nothing. No, it's everything. He tells them what he's done. I brought you up from Egypt. He brought us out of the world. He delivered us from this world system. He brought us out of the house of bondage. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Why go back into slavery? Why go back into serving this world and trying to make your life work outside of Christ? It never will. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and I drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said, don't fear the gods of the Amorites or the gods of the land. Then after that, the angel of the Lord appeared to a man called Gideon while he's threshing wheat in a wine press because he's trying to hide it so the Midianites obviously don't steal it from him. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. How many feel like a mighty man, a mighty woman of valor? Because that's who you are, because God is with you. Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. In the Old Testament, he was with Gideon. In the New Testament, he is in us. How much more? Think about Gideon, what he did. You know, what was Gideon's struggle? Lord, where are the miracles? Where are the signs and wonders? And then he said, God, if you really are, then he gets a fleece. Remember the story? He gets this fleece, a wool's fleece. A sheep's wool. Do I know what I'm talking about? Probably not. But he gets the fleece and he says, God, if you really are with me, when I put it on the ground tonight, which one was first? He said, if the ground's all dry and yet there's dew on the fleece, can you do that for me just to encourage me that you are with me? And so God does it. He gets the fleece and wrings it out and there's water, dew in the fleece. Wow, that must be God. And it's dry everywhere else. And so then he says, okay, good Lord, I really want to make sure because this is really important. Are you really with me if I put the fleece out again tonight? And this time, if the fleece is dry and all the ground is wet, then, you know, that'll really encourage me. I'll know that you're with me. Have you ever thought about all the Bible? One of the greatest things that men and women of God needed in the Bible was to know, God, are you really with me? because I'm afraid. Because I don't really know. Isn't it amazing how God gets a hold of people? We would call them losers. We would call them no hopers. God has chosen the weak things of the world, the things that are not, the things that are despised. Why has he chosen them? To put to shame the things that are. See, the issue is God is with you, you mighty man of valor. God is with you, you mighty woman of valor. God will use you. He will never leave or ever forsake you. And so, how do we encourage ourselves in the reality that God is with us? Well, we walk in his ways. Okay, well, God's made it simple for us. He hasn't given us a great big list of rules. He said, isn't it amazing? You know, what did Jesus say? Abide in me. Well, he's the one. He's God Emmanuel. And he says, abide in me. Oh, well, hang on. He's in me. He's in me. Is that the truth? We can say that? Christ in us? Well, here's a scripture in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 4 and 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That's the truth. Let every man be a liar, but God is true. That is the truth. God cannot lie. I don't want to hear your experiences or what you think is more true than the word of God. We need to be challenged over those things. My experience, if it contradicts the word of God, is a lie. And that's how I need to treat it. What I feel, if it contradicts the word of God, it's a lie. And that's how my thinking, if it contradicts the word of God, it's a lie. And it's a proud thought, it's a vain imagination that I need to take authority over and cast it down and replace it with what the word of God says. Sometimes there's got to be a bit of aggression involved, a bit of a fight involved. And so, where am I going? So, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Now, I share it often, but if, you know, Bev and I are married, we've been married for quite a few years. Help me, Bev. How many is it? Quick, before they think I'm asking you a question. 41. We forgot our anniversary again. Together. Hallelujah. So imagine I come home from work or wherever, and I come into the house and Bev's sitting there, and I just walk in and I say nothing to Bev. Cook some meal, sit down, have a meal. I say nothing to Bev. I don't even acknowledge her. Could you imagine what kind of a relationship would develop with that, not even speaking to her? In all your ways, acknowledge him. You know, so often we don't recognize, or we don't acknowledge, I should say, that God is with us because something else we're acknowledging greater than he is. He's with us. I'll never leave you. He is in us. But he wants us to acknowledge him in all of our ways. Remember, I told the story in India. When I was there, I didn't acknowledge God because I decided that something else was far more important. So I put God behind my back and needed a rebuke to get my attention back. Isn't that what God's doing to the Midianites there when he rebukes them by sending a prophet? They could have said, oh, he's a lousy prophet. I only like the prophets that encourage me or give me nice words. What a lousy prophet he was. But how good it is when God gets our attention. You know, he does it in so many different ways to all of us. But to get our attention, to acknowledge that he is right there, he will never leave or forsake. He's with us always, even to the end of the age. He is with us. And it's up to us to acknowledge him. And as we acknowledge, now I want to share something with you about, I don't know, how long have we been Christians? Are we still hiding in caves? Are we still hiding in dens? I think we are. Caves and strongholds that need to come down. Every stronghold must come down, because it's all here. It's the way we think. That's the problem. It's the way we think. Every stronghold's got to come down. Every proud thought's got to come down. But how did God tell us? He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done. All right, how do we get that kind of confidence to ask? You know, if I get to know somebody, the more I get to know them, the more I acknowledge them, the more I can have absolute confidence about anything that I might ask. If you don't know somebody, you can't have confidence. You might know everything about them, everything they've done, everything they've accomplished. And we can do that with Bible study, know all about God. But when it comes to actually knowing him, acknowledging him in all of your ways, you know, every one of us has got a different story, totally different. But I want to tell you this, that God is with you in your story. He's with you in your life. If you get into place, this my life's the pits. You know, my job's the pits. My family's the pits. Well, you're not acknowledging God. You're actually in a place of bondage when you say that. Because God is with you wherever you are. Wherever you are. Don't compare yourself with others. Start acknowledging God's with you. So here's a man, Philemon. Sorry, I need my glasses. Philemon, how do we acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways? Paul is talking to Philemon. It's just one chapter, and he says this: grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus Christ and towards all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. By the acknowledgement of everything. See, Paul's commending him for his faith and his love. So obviously he could see in his life literal works of faith and literal works of love. You know, what does the Bible command us? What's the list God has given us? Brothers and sisters, love one another. You know, we look for programs, we look for all these sorts of things, but God says, will you just love one another and allow the Spirit of God to move through you? Obey him. You know, he's going to come at times when you've got other things planned, say, I want you to do this. Isn't that? It's going to be in obedience. Why does God always do things like that? Comes to me at times which are incredibly inconvenient and says, David, I want you to do this. Well, he's doing two things. First of all, he's going to show me that he's in control, not me, and that he is the one that's going to direct every work that we do. And that's, you know, when we've got this half a year, I'll serve you, God, on Sundays. I'll even do it twice during the week. I'll go to prayer meetings. I'll do this, and I'll go to Bible studies. That's got to impress you, God. What does God want? He's looking for those who are going to worship him in spirit and in truth. He's looking for the true worship. It's all of our heart. He's our Father in heaven. Can we all stand up, please? Let me find him. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, I just listening to that rain. And I thank you, in just the same way that rain is falling, I pray, Lord, for a washing. A washing. Lord, thank you for the washing of water of your word. Wash our souls, Lord. Wash our souls. Lord, let every weariness and heaviness and defilement, every sin, let it be washed clean from every one of us. Lord, we want to, as we sang, give us a childlike heart. As we say, Our Father in heaven, we want to be obedient children. Lord, again, we listen for your voice. You are not silent, but you speak in the stillness. Lord, when all the struggling, when all the striving has ceased, when all the making up, all the trying to bargain with you, negotiate with you, work it out with you, when we just let it all go and just present ourselves, Lord, here we are as living sacrifices. You're our Father in heaven. Our prayer is that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. Father, thank you that you give us this day our daily bread. Lord, we've been struggling and striving for food, for sustenance, for achievement, for recognition, for all of those things. We just lay it all down right now and acknowledge that you are our daily bread. It's your voice that we want to hear. Lord, whether it's to do some big thing or whether it's to do some little thing or obscure thing, it makes no difference. Lord, give us ears to hear what you are saying to us by your Spirit. We don't do it to impress anybody except you. Give us hearts that are childlike and in simplicity as we've sung this morning. Lord, I pray a peace right now upon each and everyone in this place. Your peace to guard our hearts and our minds. Lord, your peace to govern everything that we do. And we just want to walk with you in simplicity and in truth. And Lord, that you might be glorified in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the refreshing of your presence, the strength of your presence. And Lord, we're going to acknowledge you. You're the one who said not to be afraid. That spirit of fear, I bind it now in Jesus' name. I declare God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. I cast down that spirit of fear. And Lord, you said not to be dismayed. Not to be dismayed in any way by what's around about us or upon our lives, because you are with us. We acknowledge you right now. We acknowledge, Lord, your love, your peace, your joy in our hearts, and we rejoice in you as you commanded us to do. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your blessing, Lord, on every home represented in this place. And Lord, as Connie prayed, Lord, we thank you for Tim. Thank you for your hand on him and all of our loved ones, Lord. They are family. And just as you will never let us go, we will never let them go. But we bring them to your throne, and we're looking and lifting up our eyes, looking to see them coming to your goodness and your mercy. Lord, that they might taste and see that you are good. Father, I thank you for your blessing flowing upon every family here. I declare, I speak it in the name of Jesus Christ, the blessing of the Lord to be upon every family in this place in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. We give you all the glory and all the praise. Everybody said, Amen. So be it.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.